Well, Paul writes in Galatians today, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent God's Son, born of a woman." Before Christmas and New Year's get too far in the rearview mirror, have you taken down your trees yet? We just took ours down the other day. I want to say a word about time, the fullness of time, God's time, and how we're hopefully different today because of Christmas, at least through Paul's perspective. Even so, it's a glancing reference. If you're not alert, you might miss it. It's the briefest of allusions. Paul says, God sent God's Son, born of a woman. That's it, if you even notice and link it to Christmas. No mention of a manger, no angels, no shepherds or wise men. Paul does not discuss Bethlehem or Joseph. We have to learn about them from Luke and from Matthew, but not from Paul. And even though Paul is the most prolific writer in the New Testament, in all of his writings, Christmas scores just half a line. God sent a son born of a woman. He's talking, of course, to people in what is modern-day Turkey. The people of Galatia were Gentiles far beyond the promises of Israel. They were, for the most part, new converts. And the Son of God comes for them to adopt them into the holy family of Israel. And we belong to God because Jesus has come into the world to claim us. His life, his death, his resurrection gather us in. And through our faith, we are welcomed by God, and that's what Christmas is all about at its best. I would stop there were it not for one other little phrase that Paul slips in. The first Christmas arrives, says Paul, when the fullness of time had come. What a curious phrase, when the fullness of time had come. What does Paul mean by the fullness of time? He could not have meant New Year's Eve at midnight on December 31st, when another 12-month cycle was about to begin. Centuries ago, somebody somewhere decided that there would be 12 months in a year, that all the months would have something between 28 and 31 days, and that the months would circle around again and again like a dog chasing its tail. Paul speaks of the fullness of time, and early in a new year might be a good time to ponder that. We can say that time rolls along. Time waits for nobody. By now, I would imagine that all the calendars for 2020 have been discounted. Have you bought yours yet? Probably won't have to pay full price. You can't sell them for full price after the date changes. It's like buying Christmas wrapping paper the day after Christmas. You get a bargain. Simply put, some things lose their value after a certain date. We can say time runs out. Food has an expiration date. Now, you wouldn't know it by looking in our pantry at the house if you read the labels, because when we were living in Southern California and before we moved, we bought cans of fruit and vegetables, and somehow one of those last-minute things were thrown into the boxes and were moved with us up here to Marin County. But by now, most of those dates are expired. So we should throw away or somehow recycle many of the canned goods in our pantry. There is time for everything under the sun, as the author of Ecclesiastes puts it in today's reading. Notice Jesus instructs us to pray for our daily bread, not our weekly bread, not our monthly bread, but our daily bread, because by Friday it all goes stale. So pray for your daily bread one day at a time. Some are worried that The world has an expiration date. Too many people, too few resources, global warming, erratic elements that could blow everything up at any given time, the prospects of another war in the Middle East. I remember not too long ago when people were worried about changing over to the year 2000, that somehow all the computers would stop running and our technology would go haywire. You remember that? But the calendar changed and everything, for the most part, went on without a hitch. People were able to breathe a sigh of relief. Well, our lives have expiration dates too. Hate to bring it up, but it's true. We expire sometime after we turn stale, hopefully many years afterwards. Our days are numbered, and somebody in heaven is counting. As they say, somebody's counting the hairs on our heads, and some of us don't have too many hairs left on our heads. But knowing these things is the beginning of wisdom, as Ecclesiastes infers this morning. But often we want to resist this reality. Funny thing, last time we sang the hymn, "Our God, Our Help in Ages Past," you know what I mean? In one of my churches, we got to that infamous line that says, "Time like an ever-rolling stream soon bears us all away." A lady said to me at the door after the service, "I don't like that verse. Why do we sing it?" None of us like it, but the truth is, time runs out sooner or later. But Paul says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent God's own Son, born of a woman. And that little verse sent all kinds of amateur historians back to their books. They come back and tell us of all the reasons why it was the perfect time for Jesus to be born. But the first bump they encounter is that Jesus was not born in year zero. Did you ever think about that? That Jesus is born right between the BC and the AD, and yet we know that he was born before the death of King Herod. And Herod's death occurred in 4 BC. The second bump is that Jesus was not surrounded by careful historians that recorded every detail when he was born, but rather he was surrounded by sheep herders. Most of them saw little value in reading or writing or math or remembering history. Third, he was probably not born on midnight between December 24th and December the 25th. Those sheep herders would have been in the fields in the springtime and not in the winter. So we don't know the exact time and date when Jesus was born, and that's okay. All the amateur historians return scratching their heads, if only because ancient history is a bit ambiguous. All we really know is that sometime in the 4th century, Christians took over an annual pagan festival that was scheduled on December 25th, the Saturnalia festival, every December 25th in the Roman Empire. And the Christians wanted to change that, and so it was called Christ Mass. Christ Mass. And there you go, soon it was just shortened to Christmas. Yet in the fullness of time, Jesus arrived. In the fullness of time, Paul says. Malcolm Gladwell says that some moments reach a tipping point. Big things happen when all the little things line up and the time is right. Ideas converge. Opinions accumulate. A revolution begins when enough people think that it is needed. When enough people are willing to risk their necks and lay down their lives for change, as we are witnessing currently in Hong Kong, a revolution is afoot. Some people look at global circumstances surrounding Jesus' birth and declare that God had reached the tipping point, that the time was right. The empire was heartless. People were cruel to one another. Sinners were destroying their lives and the lives of others. So God stepped in and said, it's time to send Jesus. True enough. Christ has come and has made a world of difference. And yet the last time anyone checked, if you watch the news on a nightly basis, empires and rulers are still heartless. People are still cruel. Iranians shoot down an aircraft when hundreds of innocent people lose their lives by mistake. Sinners are still making a mess of most things as well as the lives of others. And that leads me to say that the key is not the when, but the what. Not the when in terms of time, but the what. For some divine reason of timing, Jesus came when he did, and it was the right time. The child of God came to make us all children of God. And it happened off of anybody's map in a world that largely was asleep. All the tyrants out there still debate the claim that God has on anybody. And yet Christ has come. And so my New Year's wish and prayer for you is expressed in Madeline Lingle's poem called First Coming. First coming, she writes, he did not wait until the world was ready, till people and nations were at peace. He came when the heavens were unsteady and prisoners cried out for release. He did not wait for the perfect time. He came when the need was deep and great. He dined with sinners in all their grime, turned water into wine. He did not wait. Did not wait till hearts were pure. In joy he came to a tarnished world of sin and doubt, to a world just like ours of anguished shame. He came, and his light would not go out. He came to a world which did not mesh, to heal its tangles, shield its scorn. In the mystery of the Word made flesh, the Maker of the stars was born. We cannot wait till the world is sane to raise our songs with joyful voice, for to share our grief, to touch our pain. He came with love. Rejoice, rejoice. God did not wait to send Jesus. And it happened, as Paul reminds, in the fullness of time. Now, the Greek word for fullness is an interesting word. It's a wonderful word that suggests abundance. Fullness, abundance. Full as in spilling over, the cup is overflowing. And so here is the sense of it. When time is filled up, when the moment is pregnant with possibilities, when something new is waiting to burst forth, everything was ready for God to come. So what if that moment is also now that God is handing you this moment full of possibilities? God is handing you a moment so you can have second chances. A lot of people spend time regretting the past and worrying about the future. But guess what? You know what I'm going to say. The only moment we have is right now. So why not make the most of it? All of these possibilities God has before us. I hope it's that kind of new year for you. Not a year for you to be killing time, but an abundant year when something new and something holy can happen within you, something maybe you haven't experienced yet. I pray that with the time that we have left, that we fill it with praises of God and blessings for our neighbors. Let this be a year that's full of mercy, that we leave behind the old year with its lingering hurts and grudges and embrace the healing grace of Christ that He has come to give. And I pray that among all of our resolutions, we resolve to be children of God, to receive the blessings of God with a thankful heart, and to pass them along to others with generous hearts and hands. So now my time is up, but yours is to savor the present moment. It's about time. Are you ready for it? Happy New Year. Happy, abundant New Year. Amen.